Alright, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the J-Pod Bonecast presents 31 Days of American Horror Story. Today is day 27, October 27, 2020. We only have 4 more days left, and I can get through all of this with 3 episodes a day. So, 12 more episodes. This is marking the 89th episode. Boy Wonder is the episode we're going to be talking about today. This is actually the 5th episode of Apocalypse, but the 89th in the whole entire American Horror Story series. Thank you guys so much for taking this journey with me as well. Like I said, it's not over yet, but I do like to promote these things. If you guys please go to Twitter or Facebook, use the hashtag 31 Days of AHS to conversate with us about anything. You know, maybe I said something that was wrong or something like that, or maybe you picked up on something that I didn't. Or, you know, maybe you just want to talk about how dope this was, you know, or anything like that. All you guys gotta do, use that hashtag, please. I appreciate it so much. You know, give us a like, follow, retweet, all that. Subscribe. I also appreciate that. Like I said, J-Pod Bonecast Season 3 coming out May 2021. So I know that's a far away wait, but, you know, this is why I'm doing this. I'm doing this little last 31 episodes to get you through it. And of course, if you like American Horror Story, you know that there is an absence this year of American Horror Story. So this is really why I'm doing the whole entire series. One of the cool things is one of my favorite shows, they're actually going to redo the last season, I guess. If you guys are familiar with the show Dexter, came out in like 2009. I know, way back when. Seriously, almost same time this came out, I believe. I think this came out 2011, like 2 more years after. But anyways, you know, now I'm thinking that maybe next year I'll do Dexter for 31 days of Dexter, I guess it would be called. But I don't know, just a thought and everything like that. Sorry, my voice is all stuffy today. But yeah, I love what we've been going through. I mean, we've covered so much things. We've covered things like Easter eggs. We've talked about the main themes, everything. You know, characters, all the actresses and actors that have played in this wonderful part. You know, we still have a whole entire season after this one, so I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but we are coming to the end, so it's pretty cool. And, I mean, what a better episode than The Boy Wonder. The Boy Wonder, you know, I'm going to get into it, but, you know, this is pretty much just going to be, we're going to see Michael Langdon attempt the 7 Wonders in a little summary. But as you guys know, I'll go through the whole episode in a minute. I just wanted to say that before, so I appreciate it. All right, episode 5, American Horror Story, Apocalypse. We have Boy Wonder. It's going to start out with Cordelia, who has just fainted from the last episode after seeing Queenie and in Madison Montgomery. So literally, she has a vision of the whole entire apocalypse. She sees, you know, she tells Myrtle Snow, I've seen our academy, the Mr. Robichaux Academy, in cinders. It's all torn down. And then she ends up seeing, like, a white demonic face from this guy in a cloak. And it looks like it's the same face that we saw from Michael when he had talked to Mallory previously. So that was kind of you know, that obviously he is the end of times. That's what it looks like if this is in fact a vision. And sure enough, she wakes. Everybody asks her if she's okay. You know, of course the witches do. And then the warlocks even, they don't seem like they're, you know, too worried. But, you know, they ask like, oh, we thought something was wrong with you. So anyways, she ends up saying, I saw a great vision. You know, with the rise of the blood moon, I'm going to let Michael attempt the 7 wonders. Whatever is gonna happen, it's telling me that I need to give this boy a chance. And obviously, if he brought back Queenie and Madison Montgomery, you know, he does deserve a chance, because that's some crazy feeful you know, stuff, you know. All right, so then we're gonna see her talking to Myrtle, and Myrtle's just like, I can't believe you let a boy attempt the 7 wonders and everything like that. And she says, it's like, I seen my girls, you know, they're all dead, and I'm scared of what's gonna happen. You know, I'm not going to be like my mother, Fiona, and put my selfish desires before this coven. If he needs the chance to identify himself as the new supreme, then he must, you know. I need to identify my successor one day, so maybe this is Michael, we don't know. So then we end up seeing, you know, Zoe again, and we're hearing from Myrtle a story that, you know, she's talking about Mallory. Maybe Mallory might be the next Supreme, or at least she's showing, like, very crazy signs of power. As we saw before with Zoe with the butterflies, that's what I was getting to, was that right there impressed Cordelia, but this apparently, you know, impressed Myrtle Snow for her enough to mention it. And what it was it looked like there was a deer that was dead, but the deer looked like it either got hit by something or, like, his neck was all broken. And not only did she unbreak his neck, but then she, like, fixed all the wounds and brought him back to life. So we do know that is one of the signs of the Seven Wonders, is breathing life back in. But she fixed his bones. You know, she unbroke everything, which Myrtle Snow thinks is incredible. So Mallory ends up coming in, actually, and she says, like, you have an appointment, Miss Cordelia. So Miss Cordelia goes downstairs, and this is the first time we're going to meet Coco with her dad, who she is now joining the academy. We find out that her dad donated a shitload of money. She doesn't really think that she's a witch at all. You know, she just says, I'm a gluten-free detector. Like, a bunch of women in Beverly Hills, they called her up and everything like that. And they'd be like, oh, I had the worst gas attack. Like, this says it doesn't have gluten, but does it? And she would do this thing where she holds whatever she believed would have or not have gluten in it. And it looks like her eyes roll back in her head. And then she says, like, this does or this doesn't. And it's crazy, you know, what a superpower to have for a witch. And, of course, it's Coco. So we do already know that at one point, Mallory and Coco are going to have a identification spell placed on them. So it's going to be awesome to see how that plays out. And even Miss Cordelia says to, you know, Coco, who's a bit worried in the beginning, you know, Mallory's here. Mallory's going to show you around. Mallory being a great person to show around. Almost kind of ironic, because what we're seeing from Coco now is not at all what we've seen from her, from the past and everything like that. She's obviously, you know, not the spoiled brat that we thought she was. All right, so all the warlocks, you know, they come before the blood moon the night of, and they end up doing an anointing for Michael, giving him blessings. They use salt, water, blood, and they put a circle of power around him, and he accepts the blessings. It's crazy. There's like a, you know, chill wind, and, you know, all the fire goes out and everything like that. And then we're going to end up seeing John Henry, who doesn't think, you know, he thinks maybe Michael, you know, might be a little more darker. He's just going to go with his gut. So he ends up going, packing up, and Mr. Chablis is going to come in, and he ends up saying, I believe his name is, Behold Chablis, but, he's played by Billy Porter. So, what I was saying was, you know, John Henry is going to leave and go to New Orleans, get some answers from Cordelia. He wants to know what the white demonic face was. So he ends up saying that, you know, he's about to be stopped, but, you know, John can't be stopped. He ends up throwing Behold to the wall, sticking him there and saying, like, I'm going to find out what's really going on here and everything like that. So we're going to see him. It looks like he's stopping off at the gas station, getting gas. And this car pulls up next to him. Sure enough, it's Miss Mead. Miss Mead's going to pretend, you know, because John Henry's never seen Miss Mead. So she's going to pretend that, like, she's an older lady and she can't get the pump into the, you know, the hose to put gas in her car. The pump in the hole to, you know, get gas in the car. So Miss Mead, as she's doing that, she drops it, like, something, and she's like, oh, clumsy me. But then she takes out, like, a razor blade or knife and slashes both of John Henry's ankles, and he falls to the ground now. And then I believe she stabs him and then pours the gasoline from the car on him and sets him on fire. So we do know that, you know, assuming with warlocks, they can't be brought back. They're gone once they're burned to fire, almost like being, like, burned to the stake like a witch. So we end up seeing that. And then we end up seeing Michael for the first time, see Miss Mead. And Miss Mead is so, you know, she's outside of the boys' academy, and she's so happy to see him. You know, she ends up saying, you're doing so well. Like, you've continued our plan. You know, he's saying that he's going to pretend like he's really into this whole entire thing. But, you know, once he gains the ranks of Supreme, then he'll be able to destroy everybody from the inside, you know, and rule. So Miss Mead agrees as well, and she says, and also you have someone else looking out for you. And then we find out that Ariel is actually, he knew about the whole John Henry thing. He's the one that gave Miss Mead the information of where he was going. He says that, you know, it's time we finally beat those bitches, meaning the witches, and I would never let this moment stop. But Miss Mead also says, just don't talk about your father. So obviously he doesn't know that Michael is, in fact, you know, the son of the devil. So we're going to see all of the Seven Wonders, and they're all performed by Michael. It ends up doing that cool little flashback, like looking old black and white, you know, like they actually did to announce the Seven Wonders back in Coven. They end up doing that, and we see Michael do all the Seven Wonders. The final test he has is Deception, and we know that's the one where he has to go to hell. So Miss Cordelia, she actually makes up a rule in this one, and she says, listen, if you can retrieve Misty Day as well. But everybody starts going off, saying, like, you know, this is suicide. You know, she ends up saying, like, well, listen, she brings Ariel aside to the next room and says, like, listen, I could crush your larynx with one little flick of my finger. I'm still more powerful than you. Like, you know, you need to stand down. And he ends up, like, yelling at her, saying, you're just making this up as you go. And she just says, I'm still your supreme. Sure enough, Michael opens the doors himself, and he says, don't worry, I'll get your friend back. We end up seeing the Misty Day loop, which is crazy because we go back to that whole scene. As you guys know from our talks of Coven, she did get trapped in hell, in her own hell. And, you know, what it was there was a classroom full of kids. They're all watching her. And then there was this kid. He'd be like, oh, she did it again, Mr. whatever his name was. And she would keep cutting into a frog. And as we know, you know, Misty does not like to kill anything. You know, she's all about bringing back things like that. So sure enough, she brings back the frog, and it's an endless loop, and it gets so endless where the guy actually says, if you're not going to kill a dead frog, then I'll make you kill a real one, and, you know, taking her hand and putting it right into the scalpel and cutting it. So we end up seeing this loop a couple times, but then we end up seeing Michael stick a knife through the teacher that is making her do this and cut him upwards. So then all of his intestines fall out, almost like if he was being dissected. And sure enough, she says, are you here to get me? And he is here to get her. So all of the warlocks are like, yeah, there's no doubt. He just passed all of the Seven Wonders, even brought back Misty Day. He must be the next Supreme. Then we go over to Cordelia now, who looks a little faint again, but she doesn't faint exactly. We just end up seeing blood coming from her nose. And that's when Ariel is going to say one of the signs of a new Supreme is the death of this successor. So then we're going to get Cordelia's going to like lay down or whatever, take a seat. And she starts talking to Misty Day, and she's like, I've only known you in such a little time, but it seems like I've missed you forever. And Misty ends up saying, Miss Cordelia, you should have left me there. You know, the man you sent to get me, there's something wrong with him. There's true evil in him. And she ends up saying, like, during the whole scene with the loop, remember I was telling you guys how there was a bunch of kids around dissecting frogs as well. Well, after Michael did his dissection on the teacher, we end up seeing all the kids and their eyes go white. It's the creepiest scene. And their heads are like to the ceiling, and their mouths are open wide. And just something evil is coming out of all these mouths, like something is speaking to him. And, you know, Cordelia says maybe it was just him making a deal with the devil to release you. And, you know, Misty ends up just brushing off, saying like, oh, maybe you're right, Miss Cordelia. You are the one that knows, you know. But she says, like, evil is coming. There might be a fight ahead. You know, I need all of my girls back. And that's when Misty ends up saying that, unfortunately, Miss Cordelia, you know, I've been in hell for so long. Like, my powers just don't work as well. And Cordelia says, that's fine. You know, you've done enough. We're going to end up seeing her walk into a room now. And who obviously is here? Duh, Stevie Nicks, right? Every time the Seven Wonders are around? Yeah, that's right. Stevie Nicks is also around. So we see Stevie, she's end up, you know, Misty loves it. She ends up going and giving her a hug. Of course, she's dancing with Misty as well. Madison ends up leaving. She just, like, walks away, so we don't know exactly if that's just, like, she could care less about Misty. And it's cool to note, you know, I didn't notice this. This is maybe my third time watching Apocalypse, but every time Misty looks at the group or anything like that, Madison always just, like, kind of like blows it off, which is kind of cool because they stick to the storyline of Coven. One thing I didn't like at the very beginning was when Madison was brought back, you know, when Cordelia fainted and they said, like, did you guys even know I was dead? That's one of the things she says. That kind of bothered me because, you know, maybe they did kill Kyle. Yeah, if you guys know that Kyle was the Frankenstein that they made, because we don't actually see him at all this season. And, you know, I don't know. It could be a scene they just kept out, but he obviously is not reprising his role. I thought that was something that was lame, at least in my opinion. But it's all right. You know, not too pretentious to the story right now, so it really might not even matter at all. So anyways, Madison's going to walk away, and because we know Madison's past with Misty Day and everything like that. So Madison goes into a room and everything like that, and Cordelia follows after. And then we're actually going to see Behold follow after. So, you know, Madison is there, and she's like, "You want me to do what?" And Cordelia is saying, "I need you to go to L.A., to the murder house, and find out all about Michael. I need you to go to the beginning." They don't specifically name murder house, but at this point, we are seeing the murder house as an image. So you can already feel the excitement, and it really sucks because this was actually, like, the shortest episode of the season, I believe, and they left us off with murder house. So I was extremely pissed off about that. I was like, "Yo, you're just going to give us that?" So sure enough, episode 6 is going to be Return to Murder House. And as you guys know, I even talked about this a little bit with our friend from AHS Central on Twitter. So, you know, I did already give a little detail into what's going to happen during this episode, but obviously I'm going to break it down right now. All right, so episode 6, Return to Murder House. We know that Behold, Chablis has now listened in on Cordelia and Madison Montgomery, and Cordelia, you know, needs her to go to this murder house in LA to figure out what Michael's origin is, like, where did he come from? And, you know, Chablis ends up saying that he has his own suspicions about Michael as well. They're pretty dark, so he wants to check this out. So he's going with her regardless. We end up seeing them get dropped off at the murder house, and now they're with a new salesman. Obviously, Marcy is dead. We saw her die in hotel. Very cool little callback to that. And, you know, we end up seeing this new guy. He ends up saying, welcome. They end up using the alias, the James family. So they are pretending to be a couple right now. And the guy ends up signing them over the house. But he says, like, you know, "I am legally to inform you about the things that have happened around here in these last decade or so. There have been 36 deaths in the actual house." So, you know, Behold's like, "Don't worry about it. We'll burn some sage." Obviously, a little joke because, you know, that is always the joke that everybody ends up saying when it comes to spirits and haunting. "Oh, we'll just burn some sage." But, yeah, it's nothing you can actually burn to get rid of these spirits. We all know Murder House. We're returning to it right now. So, very cool. You know, then they end up walking up the stairs, and the first thing Madison Montgomery has to say about the place is, "It's a shithole." So, we see the intro as usual. We're going to go inside the place now. It's empty, but it still looks like someone's living here, you know, and supposedly it's been, you know, abandoned for the last 10 years. So what exactly is going on? But Chablis doesn't like the feeling at all he's getting in this place. He says, like, you know, "This place feels like a prison. I pity the souls that have been here. This must be hell." And, you know, Madison Montgomery says, "No, I've been to hell. I'm pretty sure it's a lot worse." And she ends up saying, like, "I have a second chance at life. You know, I'm not going to screw this up. Obviously, I'm expendable to Cordelia." And then she ends up saying, like, "Not even a second chance, actually a third chance, you know?" So he doesn't know exactly if Michael is evil, and neither does she. So that's why they're here, to get to the bottom of this. So the spirits won't show themselves, but Chablis is going to use this enchantment. We see him, like, a little bowl. It looks like some, like, guts or something like that, or blood. And him and Madison are going to now see a spell. And after the spell, then they start seeing spirits. We end up seeing the bathtub nurse, the one that got, you know, drowned in the bathtub. Maybe her name's Betty, I want to say. But, yeah, we end up seeing her walk by real fast. We see the two smoldering children that were from Larry Harvey. Madison ends up getting freaked out by this. But, Billy Porter's character's like, "Calm down, witch." And, you know, then we're going to see, or actually we're going to hear Tate and Ben Harmon right now talking. So this is pretty crazy. We know that they must have somehow fixed their relationship, or if it's a doctor-patient type of deal. But the way they're talking right now, you know, he's asking for help, saying I really need your help about Violet, you know, please. And he's been saying, like, "Listen, I've been treating you for, you know, months on end, session after session. You know, this is torture. You can just talk to her." And he says, like, you know, Ben ends up saying, you know, "After everything you've done, like, how can you expect her to want to talk to you, you know? You impregnated her, his wife and her mother. And then, you know, you killed, You killed her classmate, not her classmates, but your classmates. You set your your mother's boyfriend on fire. You know, all this stuff. We end up, like, hearing all the stuff that he ends up doing again. So, anyways, Madison and Behold are gonna, they're gonna break in on the conversation. And right there, they're just like, what the hell? Like, you know, we don't want to be seen. How can he possibly see us? And they end up saying, like, listen, we're witches and everything like that. And, yeah, we have really good great powers. We end up seeing, you know, Tate, he's going to end up leaving once he hears about Michael Langdon. You know, he has nothing to say about Michael, but Ben might have some stuff to say. But Ben is actually, he says he's late right now. He has an appointment to go upstairs in the window, cry and masturbate. That's obviously a callback to Murder House. So we see the famous red ball bounce down the stairs, and just as Madison grabs it, Bo jumps on her, trying to play. And Behold is about to send the spirit off. But actually, he's stopped by Billy Dean. Billy Dean Howard is joining us now, and this is very cool. This is obviously a direct connection to all of the past seasons, and not all the past seasons, but, you know, like Hotel, you know, Return to, Murder House and everything like that. And anyways, you know, she stops him saying, you don't want to do that. A lot of spirits would be on your bad side if you end up doing that. And they ask who the hell she is and everything like that. And she says, I'm a friend of the house and a friend of the of a residence here. And then sure enough, we're going to see the famous Constance Langdon at the top of the stairs. She ends up saying, you know, they end up asking who she is. And they say, we're the new owners. And then she says, I'm Constance Langdon. This is my fucking house. So Billy Dean ends up explaining that they're witches. And we end up seeing Moira. Now, this is the first time we see Frances Conroy's Moira for a while. And she comes in and she says that she dusted up the living room or whatever. And then we say, you know, Constance is going to say, I'll be back in 1 minute. Billy Dean says, no, it's going to be several minutes. Trust me. And we see Constance and she's bickering with Moira again. And, you know, she's putting her finger on the, you know, on the top of like a fixture or whatever. And she finds dust and she says, like, what is that? And you can just tell that, like, this is Moira's personal hell now that Constance is inside this house. And we come to find out that Constance is dead, too. So we're going to find out how that happens and everything like that. But these are two souls that are stuck, obviously always gunning at each other. Moira, not really gunning for Constance, but Constance just, you know, she blames her for her husband and everything like that. And Moira even plays off of that, saying, like, nothing gives me more great pleasure than going down cellar and pleasuring your husband. They're all gonna bust in now. Billy Dean ends up saying that poor soul, she must be the saddest one of them all, talking about Moira, because obviously she knows now. And they end up asking Chablis and Madison Montgomery end up asking them, we're here to ask questions about Michael Langdon. And Billy Dean says, we're not gonna answer any questions about Michael Langdon. And you know, that's when Constance says, pipe down, Billy, don't worry. Well, listen, if you guys are actually witches and you can do something for me, then I will tell you about Michael Langdon. And she wants her to get rid of Moira permanently. So we end up seeing Madison Montgomery and Chablis. And Chablis is down in the hole under the gazebo that Ben had built above it. And he digs up a skull. He gives it to Madison. And Madison says, oh, this isn't it. You know, different. Her bones would be more morose, older. And he continues to shovel, but we obviously know that is Hayden. And then they end up getting Moira's bones out. They end up going to Moira and saying, like, listen, you have an enemy here. And Moira's like, I'm proud of all my, you know, I'm proud to say I have many enemies. And then they say, well, here's your bones. And she is not grateful enough. Like, she gets on her knees, starts crying and saying, thank you so much. Like, now I can finally go. And Chablis says, Moira, you have a choice. Would you like to be buried? And she says there's no other place I'd like to be buried than on top, like next to her mother. So we end up seeing Molly Moira's grave, and we end up seeing her reunited with her mother, which we end up knowing from Murdered House that she actually pulled the plug on her mother. And when she first meets her mother, she's all sad and everything like that. And she says, Mother, I must confess, like, I pulled the plug on the respirator. And she says, like, I thank you, my dear. I was in such agony. Like, I wanted you to. I wanted to smother you in love when you did that for me. So a little happy ending there. We end up seeing the story end with Moira O'Hare, so that was very cool. We're going to go back to the house now where, you know, Constance is going to come up with her part, and she's going to actually tell them about Michael Langdon. And she says he was born in this house. to a mother and a family marked for death. You know, we know the whole entire origin of that. You know, Vivian Harmon gave birth to this child, but the father was actually Tate. So we're going to actually, like, find out that they don't even think the father is really Tate. They think somehow the house had everything involved with it, you know? Because now we do know that this is the devil. This is the son of the devil. So Constance said she gladly took over the position as a mother because, you know, it wasn't a burden to her. She thought that this was her redo over, you know, where she had gone wrong with Tate. You know, this is her fourth child and mistakes are made. But, you know, with Michael, I felt like it was a start over, you know. So he ended up starting to do the unspeakable acts that she, you know, she said she watched, like, the Discovery Channel and knew that he had tendencies of a serial killer. She would find dead flies with their, like, wings sheared off and small rodents. And it's crazy. He used to think that, like, every time he'd kill something, it would be a present for her. So we end up seeing, like, the dead rodents nailed to her door. And just a lot of crazy stuff. And then she ends up saying, like, she planted a rose for each of the presents that she was got. But every time she planted one, a little bit of her soul went as well. She never thought that she'd get sick of the smell of roses. And then there was the incident with the babysitter that we actually did see in Murder House at the very end. And, you know, then she ends up saying one day, you know, he woke up and he was a stranger to his bed. I looked at him and I didn't even know who it was. It's like he had aged 1 decade in one night, you know, over one night. And it was almost as if he was in a hurry to get somewhere, to age somewhere wise, you know. So we end up seeing him actually, now he's like full size, you know, Michael Langdon. He ends up like literally choking out his grandmother and everything like that. And, you know, then he stops and he says, I'm so sorry, Grandma. Like, you know, he says, you don't tell me what to do anymore at first. And then, you know, after that, he says, like, I'm so sorry, Grandma. I didn't mean to do that. Like, can I have some water? And she says, like, may I have some water? You know, she corrects his grandma, obviously. And the next incident was she walks in on him playing video games, but he's next to, like, a dead priest who has been neck cut. So, obviously, he killed her. And, you know, that one shattered her beyond recovery, she says, that Michael was, you know, by far the greatest loss of her own. She felt like there was nothing to do, so she had to correct this. She said, you know, actually, if he corrected her grammar one more time, she swear he would have killed her. So she's not going to be killed by him. She wants to go out on her own terms. So she ends up going back into the murder house. She takes a bunch of Xannies and pills and Crown Royal. You know, she's smoking Virginia Slims, dancing. And then we're going to end up seeing her die. So we actually don't end up seeing her until the next part where, you know, Michael is going to find the body now. And he's, you know, very upset. But Constance will not show herself. That was the last time she ever seen Michael in her life. And she'll never see him again. And, you know, Ben Harmon ends up showing himself because he feels bad. In a way, he feels like he can still mentor this child. Even though it wasn't physically his, will always feel like the need to be a dad to this child. So he ends up saying, like, some spirits in here don't want to see you. And that really hurts Michael. Michael's like, she doesn't want to see me? Like, this is all my fault. And he ends up saying, like, who are you? And he says, a spirit that wants to be seen. So to end out Constance's story, we're going to have this little girl who I have no clue who the freak she is in this American Horror Story universe. This is the biggest plot hole that really pissed me off beyond belief. Like, I get that they said she had four children. When was this child? This child was just not even named during Murder House, but you're going to bring her up now? Unless you're going to plan on going back to that, please don't do that. Unless I'm wrong, too. If I'm wrong, please go to our Twitter and let us know, but I'm pretty sure I've never even heard of this girl. And we're marathoning together, aren't we? Like, this is crazy. So we end up seeing a girl with no eyes. And she ends up saying, like, you know, Mommy, time for our tea party. So they're going to go. She ends up saying, like, my family calls me and everything like that. And even after she had died and she awoke to her children there, everybody but Adelaide, she ends up saying, we see Tate and we see Beau and we see this girl in the background. But we've never seen this girl before in our lives. I really don't understand it. If anybody wants to care to explain to me, please, I'd love it. You know, I didn't like that part. That really pissed me off. I thought that ruined some of her story, to be honest with you. You know, but, and that's it for Constance Langdon as well. And, you know, unbelievable that one time that Jessica Lange is going to rejoin American Horror Story, that she reprises her one role as Constance Langdon. And we're probably not going to see her for the rest of the whole entire series, to be honest with you, even with future episodes, unless they bring her back in American Horror Stories. But I honestly, I don't know. So now we're going to hear Ben's side of the story, because Ben is going to end up talking to Madison and Chablis. You know, he's beating off, crying, like he said he was going to do. And they end up saying, like, hey, we can help you with this, like, stop you from doing this. And he says, like, you can stop my urges? And he says, I really don't care about the masturbation part, just, like, stop the crying. So he ends up talking to him. He says, like, he felt like a father after Constance died. That's when he first seen Michael. You know, you end up seeing them do all the things that, like, a father and son would do. He's playing catch. He's doing stuff with a Rubik's Cube. But, you know, Ben says he started to see a change in Michael, definitely. And it all started once he found the Rubber Man costume in Tate's room. And, you know, Tate freaks out on him, saying, what the hell? What are you doing in my shit, you know? And he says, I'm just trying to be exactly like you, Dad. And, you know, Tate gets really angry and says, like, who'd you hear that from? And he's like, other spirits in the house have told me. Like, you're my father. And Tate wants nothing to do. He says, I don't know how you came out of me, but, like, literally, you're not mine. You know, I'm not that evil. So right there, we're like, wow. And after that, it really seemed like it strained Michael. And that's when Ben started losing him completely. We ended up seeing that the girl that was in the Dahlia murders, the one that got cut up by the surgeon, we ended up seeing her, and he's in, like, a surgeon's outfit and everything like that. And, you know, she is putting a smile on his face, her in her face is what he's saying she's doing and everything like that. And just, like, cutting her up. And obviously, like, he's fascinated by this. And this is, like, really crazy. And then Ben ends up saying, and then there was that family that moved in. And, you know, Ben ends up shutting the door. And as soon as he shuts the door, he hears a scream. And Michael kills them both. And, you know, he yells at Michael saying, they were good people. You know, they didn't deserve to die. And he says, well, now, you know, that they're gone, you know, we don't have to worry about them. Because he goes, that's exactly the problem, you know, they're not gone, they're gonna be here forever. And we see their bodies, their souls leave their bodies. And just then Michael ends up clenching his hands, and he literally burns their spirit. Like, their spirit is gone after that. It's crazy. He literally, like, not only destroyed their body, but ended up destroying their soul, Ben said. And after that, he ended up saying he knew he could have never saved him. You know, there's something way more evil at hand over here. So then Ben is going to get interrupted by Vivian, who, this is the first time she's shown herself to Ben in a while, because Ben ends up saying, Viv, why now? And she says, like, she could never forgive him for always trying to give Michael a chance. You know, he thought he was like a father to him and everything like that, but really he wasn't. And she says, now that I know what's going on here, I honestly don't think you had a choice at all, you know? Like, there was something more at play here. So she's going to tell Ben that their son is now crying. He needs his father. And you hear some cries, and Ben leaves. And then we're going to hear Vivian's tale of her encounter with Michael Langdon. And she goes, at first I thought he was just a lost soul and everything like that, but then I ended up seeing the signs. You know, there was a murder of Black Crows, the place got sweltering hot, and then there was, like, this one day where these three people came, and these three people came were the Black Pope and his two cardinals, and one of the cardinals was Miss Mead as well. The other cardinal is the same actress that played Pepper. Very cool. They don't even talk about their names or anything like that, but I think the Black Pope ends up saying, like, his name is Aaron or something. And, you know, they end up solidifying that Michael is actually evil, because Vivian sees this black mass, and it's the craziest thing ever. We end up seeing Miss Mead pick up a girl who's, like, waiting for a bus stop and everything like that. And the minute the girl sees the upside down cross in the car, she wants to get out, but Miss Mead, like, you know, chloroforms her or whatever by sticking, like, a needle in her. And then she wakes up to be found on a table, and the Black Pope is there, and he's sitting there with a knife over his hand, and he says, you know, this is all for you, Michael. Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, it was the lady that played Pepper. This is all for you, Michael. And she ends up stabbing him. And then that's when the Black Pope reaches inside of this girl after stabbing her upwards. And, you know, he ends up taking out her heart. And the minute he takes out her heart, like, it's crazy. You see, like, a flashback to the girl's life and everything like that. Like, obviously, that's her death. And then they hand it to Michael, and Michael eats it. And just as Michael eats it, we see the shadow of, like, the devil. And literally, you know, they end up saying, like, I'm in the presence of my Lord, and they all bow. And they know now that this is, you know, all the omens are complete, and this is the truth. Sorry, I believe that guy's name was actually Anton, the Black Pope. And it's crazy, this is like some American Horror Story history right here, because I believe they do use some real characters, just obviously they're gonna screw around with the story. Yeah, he ended up saying that he, like, faked his death for this moment, and then they followed the North Star over here, and all the signs were possible. So anyways, you know, Vivian ended up seeing that, and she knew she had to kill him. So she goes to kill him. Just before that, we see in the back of his ear, there's 666 on it, and all of a sudden, flames are around her, like she's about to be burnt up, but Tate actually grabs her and saves her life. So, you know, Madison now end up hearing the story. She ends up, like, saying, we gotta leave now. I need to go tell my council exactly what's going on. And, you know, she thinks Chablis is stopping him, her, but literally Chablis is like, no, I agree. If I had known Michael was this evil, I never would have, like, you know, even backed him in any of this. So right as they're about to walk out the window, though, they hear some crying. They go to see who it is, and it's Violet. And this is awesome. Madison Montgomery is slowly redeeming herself, honestly. I mean, in the very end, like, none of this really matters. As you guys are know, we're going to get to an episode that, like, pretty much erases all that's happened. But Madison is trying, you know. She did say this was her third chance, and she really wants to show everybody. So she ends up seeing Violet and everything like that, and Violet says, like, you know, I can't really tell you anything about Michael. I stayed clear of him. And Madison's like, don't worry about it. Like, you know, it's probably best that you did stay clear of him. But, you know, I want to bring you back together with Tate. And she says, like, I can't be back with a monster, you know. Loving him is torture. It's too tough. And she ends up saying that, you know, I don't even think that Tate was a bad person. Somehow it had something to do with this house. Like, if his body was just a vessel for the house, and when he created the evil of, you know, Michael, it's almost like all of that evil took Tate with him, left from Tate and went into Michael, any of it that was left. And she goes, I really want to believe you. And then we end up seeing, like, Madison blow some dust into her face and everything like that. And we see Tate for the first time, and then she calls out Tate. And then that's when Tate's going to end up coming, and, you know, they end up making up. And, you know, it's a little nice happy ending. And it definitely is the ending of Murder House, you know. I can't see them going back to any characters other than maybe the Harmons at one point. But, you know, it really does put a kibosh on what everybody wanted to happen. Violet and Tate being together and, you know, the unanswered question of Moira and her mother. So I thought it was perfectly ending. I mean, it was pretty cool to see Constance and everything like that. Jessica Lange reprise her role. I thought that was very cool as well. This was definitely one of my favorite episodes. This whole entire season was a huge hit. You know, a lot of people loved it or hated it, but I was one of those people that loved it. I thought it was awesome what they were doing. So now we're going to go on to episode, was it 6, I believe? No, sorry, this is episode 6. Episode 7, it's Traitor. So here we go. Alright, so we open up 7, Traitor, that episode of American Horror Story Asylum. We open up with Dawn Stevens. It looks like she's doing voodoo for the town now. She has a heart that she had ripped out of a woman using voodoo and everything like that. Very cool scene. And then we end up finding out that she stole this woman's heart because her husband had a wandering dick. And literally, you know, this was a love potion that they end up going to make out of the heart. So they throw the heart in a blender, the wife's toenails. And she says she offers, like, strawberries to make it go down smoother. But she doesn't. She says, no, he can take it. So we end up seeing them force feed it to this girl's husband. And literally, you know, now his dick won't get hard for anyone but her. And she pays Dinah, and then Dinah's on her way. As she walks out, Cordelia is going to run into Dinah, and, you know, Dinah ends up saying, like, I can't believe you even show yourself around after what happened to Marie Laveau. And she says, no, like, we don't know what happened to Marie Laveau, you know, we had nothing to do with that. I came to you because it's in dire needs, you know, I actually need your help. I need you to contact Papa Legba for me. So she says she doesn't do anything for free or anything like that, and she needs $100,000 in cash. So we get the opening intro and everything. We end up seeing a film, it looks like. It's called A December to Decapitate. So we end up seeing, what looks like Evie. I'm not sure if she's playing an entirely different character in this, or she was a witch, and she actually got killed before they could bring her back in the Outpost 3. So we end up seeing her anyways, and her name, oh no, it's not Evie, because her name is Bubbles in this, sorry, so she is playing a different person, yeah. So she's actually playing, so the same actress that plays Evie is also playing Bubbles now. So Bubbles ends up coming on set. The movie, I'll just explain it real fast, because it is kind of cool. It's in about, like, a guy that escaped, like, a mental hospital, and he's dressed up as Santa Claus, and he, like, kills everybody. After she kills her husband, when her husband does not, you know, and he gives her a shitty Christmas gift, like, something without heels, saying, like, oh, you know, Crumpet, I don't like when you're taller than me and all this stuff. So we end up seeing her say cut, and she gets off the set. And then we end up seeing her powers, that she's a witch, because she can mind read all these people around her. There's like a guy saying he has to take a shit and everything like that, and all this other stuff. So we end up seeing Madison Montgomery now walk in, and she says, listen, we need your help. And, you know, she says she's way past her prime, and the fact that, like, Madison was the one that pretty much drove her out and everything like that. And she says, no, like, it's not me that needs you, you know, it's the coven you've been called. So we know that it's only serious when she's been called. So then we're going to see her, Myrtle, and Madison out to dinner now. And again, she's reading the people around her, you know, the waitress's, the waiter's mind. You know, the waiter ends up saying, like, I wonder, wow, she looks famous. I wonder what kind of panties she has on. And then she just blurts out, like, I usually wear none and everything like that. So her and Myrtle go way back. We're going to find out. And, you know, she doesn't owe Myrtle any favors, but Myrtle truly does know her actual age. So she kind of almost puts this over her, and she says, listen, we need you to go inside of the, you know, the warlock school with us, and we're going to have a dinner, and we need you to read their minds and see what their true intentions are. And she ends up thinking that, you know, just because a male supreme is now rising doesn't mean it's the devil, you know? Are you sure you guys are, like, really sure about this, or are you taking it too far? But as we're going to see, we're actually going to see the dinner, and then we find out exactly, obviously, because Bubbles can read minds. So now we're going to go back to Cordelia, who's got the $100,000 in cash. She has now paid Dennis Stevens to make contact with Papa Legba. Papa Legba, very cool how he comes in, you know, she ends up pouring some rum for him, so it's an exquisite rum, he ends up saying, and she always brings in the best. And, you know, she asks, Papa Legba asks her if, you know, is there any, that you want to go back on your promise of immortality? And, you know, she ends up saying, no, I don't have it in me to go steal children every day. I'm fine as is. And then she ends up saying, like, this witch paid her today for this whole entire thing. So, sure enough, we end up, actually, great scene right here. We end up seeing Nan, Jamie Brewer, or Brewster, come back and, reprise her role as Nan. And, you know, Papa Legba ends up saying, like, the last time a voodoo queen and a witch were working together, they gave me the greatest gift of all. So in order for this deal to work, you know, she needs to give her a gift on that level. And then we end up seeing Nan, and Cordelia's like, Nan, and Cordelia doesn't know this, but Nan's going to tell her that she actually enjoys hell a lot, you know. And Papa Legba is going to say, like, this was my favorite little special gift of hell. You know, she even helps my little helper, I believe he calls her. There's no other girls like her. But, you know, if you want, you can take my offer, but it will cost you all of your girls' lives. So Cordelia obviously won't do this. She says, no, all my girls, I can't do this. And the deal is off. Once Papa Legba is gone, that's it. He only gives the deal once. And, you know, even Dinah Stevens says that. After she says, come on, Dinah, there has to be something. She goes, no, you didn't sacrifice six of your girls, and now, like, you know, 6 billion people are going to die, and your girls. So now we see Zoe, Queenie, Mallory, and Coco. And Coco learns a new power. She ends up showing them, you know, it's all the calories and everything like that in the food. And they can't even believe it. So actually, Queenie's going to take a bite of a snowball. And she says, there's only 80 calories. And everybody knows that must be a lie. But then Queenie turns over the snowball, and it's half eaten. So obviously, she's eaten enough that only 80 calories are left. Proving that, you know, Coco does have these new powers. So Mallory ends up, like, thanking her. I mean, not thanking her, but, like, telling her, like, listen, like, you did this on your own and everything. You needed to apply yourself, and you did it finally. And she thanks Mallory. It's a great seeing that relationship, because, as you know, Coco and Mallory's relationship under the identity spell was totally different. But anyway, you know, that was all for the cover, though, you know, the cover of it all. So anyways, you know, we have Coco, who's actually going to say after the snowball, like, she doesn't care what amount of calories are in it, so she eats it. And sure enough, she ends up choking on it. So as she chokes, she actually dies. And then we see Mallory bring her back to life, not by breathing life into her like a Supreme would or something like that that we've seen before. But instead, she uses her finger to make a cut in like where her larynx is and her throat. And she pulls the snowball out, puts her back, like, you know, fixes that would be a wound or scar, and literally brings her back to life. And it's the craziest thing. Even Zoe says there's nothing she's ever seen like that before. So now Zoe's starting to think that maybe, you know, after seeing Cordelia get weaker, she mentions, like, maybe Mallory's a new Supreme. Maybe it's not because Michael's a Supreme. All right, now we're going to go back to the dinner now. We got Myrtle and Bubbles McGee. They are joined by Ariel and Penny Packer. And they have a meal, and the witches obviously are, you know, enchanting the wine and everything like that. They end up making them go at the end of the dinner. Like, it seems like they have the power to do that. But anyways, during the dinner, they're going to get some information, and Ariel ends up spilling inside of his mind, like, oh, good, no one's asked about John Henry. I'm glad that asshole's Ash. And then, you know, we end up here in, like, Penny Packer, and he's saying, like, I hate these witches. I can't wait until they're all dead. I can't stand them. So now we find out their true intentions, and, you know, Myrtle ends up just saying, hey, it's getting late. Don't worry about all this. We'll end up cleaning up, boys. So sure enough, Bubbles is going to tell, you know, Myrtle, this is what's going on. They're definitely playing a betrayal, and, you know, they actually kill John Henry and everything like that. So she says, with this information, we have to go back to Cordelia and figure out what's going on. We now see Mallory back at the Robichaux Academy with Cordelia, and it looks like it's a final dinner. Mallory doesn't exactly want to even rise up if Cordelia falls, and Cordelia, you know, assures her, like, listen, I haven't fallen yet. There's still many things you need to do. So then we see Mr. Chablis, who's dining with him, and he's like, how can you guys drink when the Antichrist is coming and everything like that? We need to stop it. And Cordelia ends up stopping him and saying, listen, I'm not naive to this at all. Like, you know, tonight we celebrate. This could be the last time together. But I will tell you something. I've known this for the last 3 years that something was going to come. And that's why I did something that almost killed me. And finally, we get the answer to how the hell Myrtle Snow is back. I didn't think they were even going to mention this at all this season. Thank God they did, dude. It took them 7 episodes. But I was a little scared that they were going to screw this up. And they were going to, you know, again, just throw someone in there just to have in. But sure enough, we end up seeing Cordelia. She cuts herself. She puts blood over fire. And she brings back Myrtle Snow. And the minute Myrtle Snow is back, you know, she says, why'd you bring me back? I told you not to bring you back. And she says, like, danger is coming. And she's going to need help protecting these girls. So, you know, that's crazy. We finally find out exactly how Myrtle Snow was brought back and all that. So now the coven is reunited and it's time to go to work. So it looks like they're going to start the Seven Wonders because we're going to go to the last wonder right now. And we end up seeing Zoe bringing back all of the ash where John Henry was burnt. And then Mallory ends up actually from the ash bringing back John Henry, which is a crazy scene. We ended up seeing that she has now won the supremacy by doing this, the final task of the Seventh Wonders. So, you know, I call it old school TV or something like that because it's in black and white and they show the Seven Wonders. But sure enough, at the end, it goes to a black screen and says our new Supreme has arisen. So we end up finding out what exactly John Henry knows, you know, and he says, like, you know, what I've learned while I was gone, like, I've seen it all come. And she literally says, like, who killed you? I believe Myrtle asks, actually, you know, who killed you? We know your brothers conspired against you. And he's kind of confused, like, he didn't know that at first. You know, he was like, a woman killed me. And they were like, a woman? So now we're going to get some information on the woman because Cordelia goes to Coco and she says, listen, your guests are amazing, but I'm going to need you for something more. You know, Michael has an ally and she needs to be eliminated. And literally, she almost says, like, listen, I do anything for the coven, but I don't think I'd be able to use my powers for good against her, you know. Mallory, someone who's going to be the new Supreme, would be way better equipped for this. And she tells her, like, listen, Mallory has another part. This is why I need you. So we end up going now to the meat market where Miss Meat is getting her classic two hooves, and it looks like some meat for some stew it is. And she goes to her car and everything like that. And it looks like she ends up getting a knock on the window and ends up being Coco. And Coco says, I can't, like, wait until you burn or something like that. And just as she says that, Miss Meat is going to shoot her with a tranquilizer dart and said, I saw you following me in the store. So just as that happens, we end up see one of the men that, you know, carries out a torching almost, or the stakes, whenever they're burning at the stakes, one of those men in glasses. he actually bags and tags her and then picks up Coco and brings him back. And Coco says, did we do it? Did we do it? And she was like, yep, don't worry. She actually says, am I going to die? And she says, no, you're going to sleep. So we're going to go back to the Warlock school now, where Penny Packer is talking to Ariel, saying he made the deadliest type of, powder that when it blows in the air, you know, will break down the body and everything like that. He jokes around with him and blows in his face, and Ariel gets wicked pissed. He's like, what the fuck are you trying to do? You trying to kill me? And he's like, no, because it only works on women. And they start to laugh. And just as they laugh, sure enough, the doors become, fly open, and it's all the witches, and they end up saying, like, that's plagiarism. Another witch did this. You just switched it around on the genders. So, then she ends up lighting it on fire. It goes right up, so they can't even use that anymore to kill all the witches like they planned. And, she says, like, it seems you've made the same mistake. So just as they're about to, like, talk, they end up getting rid of their mouths using a spell. So both of them don't have mouths around. And, you can just hear them, like, talking over themselves. But no one can hear what they have to say because they don't have any mouth. So now we're actually going to see all of them burnt at the stake. We see Miss Mead. We see Baldwin Pennypacker. And we also see Ariel. I forget his first name. Ariel Augustus, I think it was. Yeah, his last name. Sorry. So it's crazy. This scene is the craziest scene. I love this scene. So, we have Pennypacker and Ariel. They can't talk because their mouths have been, like, taken off by a spell. And then we have Miss Mead there. And Miss Mead is when she was going to the stake, first of all, she didn't even look, like, scared or anything like that. She looked like she was smiling. As she's on the stake and being, doused with gasoline because they have John Henry come. John Henry has to kill the warlocks because it's a pact that they made with the witches. The witches can't just burn anybody at the stake. They're going to continue tradition. Obviously, Cordelia is going to continue tradition. And this is how we're going to end out the episode. Obviously, the episode 7 named Traitor, it goes back to all of these, warlocks that are traitors. So we're going to see both of the traitors, Baldwin Pennypacker and Ariel Augustus. And, we see them go up in flames. And before Miss Mead is about to go up in flames, she ends up saying some crazy shit. She says, you think death is a punishment? I do not fear fire. The fire will cleanse me. And then she just starts saying, Father, take me to your kingdom is nigh. Take me. And just as she burns, she's laughing. And it's the creepiest thing ever. It's so creepy. Zoe ends up, like, telling Coco, you don't have to watch if you don't want. And you just see the fire in her eyes. As most, burning at the stakes, which are very heavy on a mind. So it's the craziest. We're going to end up, seeing how Michael's going to react to this and everything like that in the following episodes. This is the end of day 27. Like I said, we only have 4 more days, so we're getting to there. Then after tomorrow as well, I'm going to finish up tomorrow, I believe. We only have 3 more episodes? Yeah, 3 more episodes. So I will finish the season up tomorrow, and then we're going to be on to 1984, the last season of American Horror Story. So we're going to do it, guys. Thanks again for listening, as always, and I'll see you tomorrow.